97.5, The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And on this King Day holiday, we are here with you, the Johnny Cage Show, here on 97.5, The Fanatic. And the start of the day, the post-mortem of what went on in Tampa, of what went on over 18 weeks. We'll talk about all those things through the course of this week, actually, as we sort of put a bow on the Eagles 2021 season. The 6 o'clock hour brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters, because Bradford White Water Heaters are here for the pro. There are so many villains, so little time. Whenever a season ends in a debacle like that, we've only got 4 hours today to determine who belongs on the wall of shame for one of the biggest embarrassments, honestly, in Eagles playoff history. And it all starts with the man in charge, to me. There were many players that made it a Sunday to forget, but the man in charge, in his first outing, and I'm going to give him that, had a horrendous game plan. Tampa was the beaten-up team. They were the team that already had built-in excuses for maybe why the Eagles could pull the upset. Unfortunately, they were also the team that had Tom Brady, and that really helps Bruce Arians out a lot. Brady filleted them. And what was strange is last night, until watching some of the coverage, as I couldn't fall right asleep after our ride home, he was actually under more duress through three quarters than Jalen Hurts was. But then again, Brady actually stays in the pocket, allowing plays to develop. The defense was listless and passive, and all of you people who have been against Jonathan Gannon's defensive style, I understand that a game like yesterday will frustrate the hell out of you. The secondary, well, they never even went after Darius Slay at all. They literally just left him alone and said, oh, there's Steven Nelson. Let's do it again. This loss was primarily, though, on player performances. But the game plan, I don't know, it was obviously devised on a drunken cocktail napkin. Because all week long we said one thing. You got a shot. You got an opportunity. And I don't believe yesterday the Eagles took the best advantage of the opportunity there. It was a disaster. And thankfully we only got 8 more months to think about this game. I'm sure we're going to get over it very, very quickly. Because that's what we do here. John Kincaid Show getting started on the King holiday. We've got Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille, and Heavy Chevy's directing you on YouTube this morning. If you're watching, we appreciate you. And Connor Thomas hustling this morning. Connor just putting major miles on him this morning, running around, getting everything together. We'll have a special edition of Speak for Yourself later on coming up in the show. So overall, I just think that's where I want to start the conversation today is, I don't think the head coach came with a game plan that was in any way creative, innovative, different, anything that Tampa wouldn't have expected or seen.
No, didn't see any of that at all. Jonathan Gannon certainly didn't do much different. Listen to these numbers, John. In 2 games against the Eagles this year, now I know we're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time.
Correct.
But in 2 games against the Eagles this year, Tom Brady completed 80% of his passes for 568 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception. I mean, the first 3 quarters of both games combined, 59-14 Tampa, they're just too good for the Eagles. They're just way too good. I didn't like the way that the game plan was. I didn't like the way the players came out. They played intimidated. And look, Tom Brady can do you. He's the most intimidating football player probably that ever lived to go up against. But, I mean, I would rather see mistakes of trying to do too much than not do enough. I mean, you saw it. When Tampa runs the ball, you saw guys standing around, not going in on a tackle, kind of just, you know, observers instead of participants. It was just horrible. Just a bad effort, a bad game plan. And some of the other stuff that are so obvious, like why isn't Devontae Smith involved in the offense in the first half? You know, why we talked about it, and some of us disagreed, but why are you putting Tom Brady on the field to begin the game? I just don't understand that. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And, you know, we'll hear from Nick Sirianni about what Jalen Reagor was thinking on the punt, but what the hell was he thinking on the punt? It's just, it's It's bad when the things that you know weren't that good throughout the season really show themselves in a playoff game.
Intimidated, Jamie, do you believe it was a intimidation factor, or do you believe it's more leaning towards just not good enough?
Probably just not good enough. That first half was sloppy, uninspired.
Listless.
Yeah, they just looked not prepared. And, you know, Sirianni was okay. I think he had a lot to overcome in terms of his players' performances yesterday. Even the offensive line, which is the bread and butter of this team, looked off to me yesterday. The running game didn't seem good. I didn't see much movement from the offensive line, and they probably just weren't good enough. And it was a pretty frustrating day. It was a bad loss. It's a bad taste in the mouth.
I got to tell you this, though, as far as the everyone talking about, man, Gannon's defense, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. Here are the teams that Jonathan Gannon, in two games, his defense gave up 29.5 points average to Tom Brady, which, by the way, was almost exactly their season average. They gave up over, they scored over 30 as a season average. Here are the teams that gave up more than what Jonathan Gannon's defense gave up this year. Dallas, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, New York, the Giants, Indianapolis, Atlanta again, Buffalo, Carolina, and Carolina again. Tom Brady, we're screaming about how bad Jonathan Gannon's defense was against Tom Brady. I just listed you nine games where other teams, Tom Brady did worse to them. Pat, do we overreact to this a little bit and underestimate what Brady does to everybody?
Yeah, probably. We probably overreact. We probably forget about the injuries. I mean, look, when you, and I know we had a good game yesterday, but when you have to play Ryan Kerrigan as much as you did because Josh Sweat is out with emergency surgery, you're already down Brandon Graham. Yeah, look, was it Jonathan Gannon's best day? No.
No.
It was literally no one's best day. It was a cavalcade of suck, but with that said, I mean, yeah, we probably overestimate the fact that Brady does this to just about everybody.
The cavalcade of suck. That yeah. sort of sums it up. I mean, there was a listless feel to it.
There was.
And there wasn't gang tackling. And I love that you brought that up, Bob, because I got it right here on my notes from just jotting stuff down in my notes yesterday. Is there was no gang tackling in the first, like, quarter and a half.
No.
The first run of the game, 17 yards, straight up the gut, and yet Eagles players just sort of standing there,
yeah,
watching it.
Yeah, when you're playing an opponent that is superior in so many ways, effort has to be extreme. And like I said, I wouldn't even mind it if you had some penalties or some mistakes made because you were trying to do something maybe that you're not accustomed to doing, maybe trying to overplace something. But yeah, I mean, I think I said it to you as we were watching it. It's like, wow, there's a lot of guys just standing around, you know, and I don't know. It's just listless is a great word to describe yesterday. Look, none of us expected them to win, and all of us predicted
we
them
all
to
said
lose.
They wouldn't win, right.
But I didn't see them coming out with a lackluster effort in the way that they did.
The weirdest thing is, James, is that it ends up being pretty much the loss score-wise that we all sort of expected. None of us had it within a touchdown. None of us were calling for the field goal game that a lot of other people were calling for. But the way it happened to me just sucked. It leaves a really bad taste. If it was 31-15 and Tom Brady got the 31 in the fourth quarter, got a touchdown, and it was like 24-15 and they get so late, I'd feel differently about it.
Yeah, we talk about the defense, but the offense was abysmal yesterday.
Isn't that the head coach's thing?
Yeah, it is. We'll get into the quarterback play a lot in the course of today, but he was not anywhere good enough to win you a playoff football game. And it was tough. It was a tough product to watch in that first half. That offense was just, you couldn't get a run game going. You didn't know who the running back was going to be. Devontae wasn't targeted, as Bob said, in the first half, I don't believe, which is just inexcusable. Dallas Goedert, again, with a crucial drop that, ends a drive and He had 20 yards to run in front of him. So it was just a bunch of little things compounded together for the cavalcade of suck.
Today's show is being presented by the Parx Sportsbook app. You know, you can bet the playoffs with the best, and they've already put out the weekend schedule for you to be ready to see it. You're going to see the Titans early on Saturday in their game. You're going to see the Packers Saturday night in prime time. Bet the playoffs with the best. Your first bet is risk-free. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, I say so many villains, but I think what happens is if this loss happens in week six, we move on because there's another game. And my worry is that it's going to cloud every single thing that I saw through 17 games, and that this game, I'm going to put too much importance on it, Bob. That in my head, and look, it's a weakness. I'm not overreact, but I'm going to hold this more weight on this game than I did on maybe a game if this happened in week six.
Sure.
And that's not fair. I don't think that's
not
fair.
Unfair.
We talked about it last week a little bit, how we're going to react on Monday should something happen, or are we going to be so reactive that we overreact as to what happened during the season. But as Jamie said, it's not a bad thing. This is the game where the spotlight shines brightest. And this is where, you know, players make plays, and those who aren't able to don't, and give you negative plays. I mean, it's just a spotlight on everything that you do. It's a microcosm of the season, yes. But it's also a good read as to, all right, where is this player going or that player going, or how did he react to this situation? And there really wasn't a whole lot of good yesterday that came about it. And when you play a Tom Brady-led team, they're going to exploit your deficiencies. And we saw a lot of deficiencies in the Eagles yesterday.
Too many.
Yeah, I don't. Was there any good?
I don't know.
No, I mean, I can't think of anything.
I don't. Like, a garbage time Boston Scott touchdown does very little for me. There really just wasn't anything good yesterday.
They bottled up Cameron Brate.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he was primed to go off.
He was. He was
made him the focus of the offense, obviously.
That's a good point.
Or the lack of focus of you in that conversation we had.
Yeah.
I didn't hear TJ Ford's name all day long either.
He had, but that's a good point. Pat, he did nothing. After Saturday's show, he did nothing. TJ Ford. It was an unacceptable performance from TJ.
I had a Jalen Reagor type performance this week. Wasn't great.
But it was fun. It was fun. For everybody, by the way, just a big bow on it. All the people that we met down in Tampa, we made some new friends. Many of you may be watching today on YouTube. We heard a lot of people.
Kevin in Winterhaven said he's going to call today.
That watched the show on YouTube.
Yeah.
A lot of people every day picking up their app.
Our buddy from York that drove down with his girlfriend.
I can't believe that.
Watches on YouTube every morning.
Bob and I both cringed a little bit going, okay, I'm not letting Olivia drive that far at 18. I'm just not.
No.
You aren't doing that. He was a fine young man.
Oh, very nice kid. Yeah, I hope they made it back okay and everything's all right.
We made so many friends this weekend, got to meet so many people. The guys from Philly Sports Trips, again, if you're not doing it with them, you're not doing it right. Because that was where the party was yesterday.
Yeah.
And over the weekend. That's where the party was on Saturday.
Yeah.
With us at Tampa Joe's. And the folks at Tampa Joe's were absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Don't take our word for it, by the way, because, you know, the players' families were showing up at the tailgate.
That was correct. Mrs. Slay came yesterday, which
was
fantastic.
She did. Yeah.
And you heard us on air on Saturday. Devontae Smith's family.
Lovely family.
Not only joined us on Saturday at the Eagles pep rally, but then joined us again yesterday at the tailgate.
Pretty cool.
I'll tell you this. Christina Smith and I think we really bonded. I mean, she is game day focused. Saturday, the lady we met, and then Sunday morning, she looked like Nick Saban an hour before game time yesterday. She wasn't as bubbly and everything. She was ready to, she looked nervous, like anxious, ready to go.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun being down there, seeing all the Eagles fans that we did, finding out so many people from Philadelphia are transplants down there. And
tapping that app every single day, and we appreciate you.
Exactly. And then making it over to the things that we did. It was a fantastic time. It was great. And that's why you love to get to the playoffs. It sucked yesterday. It's one game, and are we going to overanalyze it?
Of
course, as fan base, everybody will. But the week leading up to it and the weekend being down there was just terrific.
Hey, the Lowe's Just for Pros event is back. Get savings on the top tools, plus bonus perks to help with your business. Lowe's, the new home for pros. valid 117, which is today, to 128 in the U.S. only. We have a special treat for you today. And this actually works out pretty awesome because we have a Sixers afternoon game this afternoon that'll be right here on the Fanatic coming your way at 2. So Anthony was like, wait a minute. We cannot have Mikey Miss off today. Not the day after the Eagles season. Either it was going to either be a great celebration today or it was going to be this postmortem. Anthony and Mike Missinelli, two titans of Philadelphia sports radio, teaming up today to do the show from 10 to 2. I know I'm going to be tapping the app all day long. I will be listening in and catching some of that. These guys are going to get after it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I got some car problems to deal with, so I'll probably be sitting in the car or driving the car, hopefully, somewhere. So I'll be tuned in. That's for sure.
Okay, the show sheet for that show today. You think it's just going to be this? Mike goes off, Anthony goes off. Mike goes off, Anthony goes off.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Just passion.
I can't wait to hear it and hear what the people have to say today. We will try to get a lot of you in today to get a thought process going on what actually happened yesterday. And that's the one thing I want to be, and I was trying to calm myself down last night on the plane, was the idea is that I wanted to be fair today. Because I felt like crap after that game. And I don't want one game to end up spoiling, because there were good things over the course of 18 games.
Yeah, versus bad teams.
Yeah, I'll tell you, John, I know it sounds lazy and eye rolling, but it's right. It is right. I mean, you know, the fool's gold is there. It's there.
It would be ridiculous to not look at what they accomplished this year and say, okay, they were a middle of the pack team and they beat the teams below them on the food chain and they lost to the teams above them on the food chain.
Which isn't a
That's not a bad thing. To me, that's not an indictment on where they were in a rebuilding year when I watched Washington and the Giants watch that game on TV last night.
Sure, it's just you're not there to compete with the big boys yet.
Definitely not.
You know, you got a lot of cap money. You got Wentz's numbers coming off the books. You got 3 first-round picks. So the future's still bright. But I think we can all recognize they didn't beat a good quarterback this year.
And that is something that
that's a concern.
It's going to shape. We've had some staff meetings. Jamie Lynch has got a pile of work put on his desk that is going to come up that's going to lead us up to the end of April. By the way, tomorrow will be 100 days till the NFL draft.
Woo!
So beginning next week, Jamie really is going to get under the hood in a huge way.
15, 16, 19.
I like it. And honestly, in the third quarter yesterday, I put out that tweet and I said, okay, those are the only numbers that matter. 15, 16, 19 right now. Because that's where we're at.
It's a lot of sexy.
Hey, come rain or shine, high winds or mild breezes, blue skies are great. Great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19, sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer, and we appreciate them being a part of the action today. So we'll have plenty on your Eagles. Let's see what Frank in Philadelphia wants to get things started today. Frank, what's going on, brother?
Good morning there, guys.
Good morning.
Jalen Hurts reminds you of 25. He's good during the regular season. Come playoffs, he can't use that arm. He has no arm talent. We got to go quarterback shopping.
Okay, explain to me, Frank, what you say is, what do you determine as arm talent?
He tries to throw the ball across the body. He has not completed one ball between the hash marks all season. That's embarrassing.
He has, though. He has.
Devontae Smith was open the whole first half, 15 yards off. Give him the ball. But do something.
I get you. I mean, and the arm talent thing, that's the one thing that I've been held up on Jalen Hurts all year long. And the idea of, I think you've got it by this point. You are not developing an arm in the NFL. You can't. You can't give me an example of a guy who went, well, he didn't have a big arm, and then he got to the NFL, and he went in the weight room, and he got it. It's natural. You're born a thrower, or you're not.
Yeah, and those who play quarterback that might not have a big arm or the throwing arm, they have something else that is usually extremely good if they're going to stay in the NFL, and that's being able to read a defense. And he struggles there as much as he struggles with arm strength, in my opinion. Like, we watched that game yesterday and the one play early where, was it Devontae Smith who broke open, who was wide
was
open?
Quez Watkins. Quez was wide open.
Wide open.
It was 7-0 at the time, too. That could have changed everything.
And that was a play. It was a third down, I believe. He rolled to his left when he didn't have to. If he'd have stayed and anticipated and thrown when he was breaking open, it would have been a touchdown. And instead, he breaks out to his left and tries to throw across his body, and it gets tipped at the line, and then Sipos comes in and does another horrible punt. Terrible. I don't know what happened to him. But, yeah, it's. I don't think it's something. Arm strength you can't build on, and I don't really anticipate him doing that, but, God, I wish he could read a field better. I mean, it was evident yesterday again.
We are going to have plenty on your Eagles all morning long. We will be your place to discuss it, talk about it, and obviously you stick around for Anthony and Mike today. It's going to be a big day to just sort of get some stuff off your chest. Quick mention, on a big weekend after the Sixers lose an embarrassing home game to Charlotte, to win back-to-back nights, win two games against two Eastern Conference competitors by a total of 23 points, I believe at least deserves some sort of more than a golf clap, because that's impressive. You beat the Celtics by 12 on Friday night, and then you go beat the Heat in Miami by 11 on Saturday night. That, to me, tells me a lot about the Sixers, as they are now 2.5 games out of the number one seed in the East. I asked Jamie this morning. I said, what does that mean to you? And he goes, it means that it's just really sort of a mediocre year. And it's starting to happen. Chicago now, 3 in a row.
Yeah.
They're coming back to the pack.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it all comes out in the wash, kind of. And you hope that they can get themselves up into a viable position. And that viable position is number 3, I think we all agree.
That's the lowest I want them to be.
Yeah.
I mean that's the, like, I want 3. And now you're 2.5 out.
And you got Durant out for 6 weeks.
On Martin Luther King Day, you're 2.5 out?
Yeah.
I believe that. I don't believe discussion of chasing the number one seed's out of the question.
Not at all.
When Chicago's the number one seed, now you got Durant missing until March.
Not at all.
There's an opportunity.
Which is wild.
It is. You look glazed on that. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Is the great cloud gone, though? Does that mean the great cloud should be gone?
No.
Oh, no.
Pat,
no,
come on.
No.
Pat, no.
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 Because it could be better.
Yeah.
Everything in life could be better.
No, but, like, we've actually seen this.
I could be 180.
Yeah,
I'd be really happy.
I've never seen you at 180. That's the problem. I've seen them with Ben Simmons, or at least a semblance of Ben Simmons.
I got you. We're going to have plenty on that.
Talk about a cavalcade of suck.
The cavalcade of suck really just has to be put in the
union start in 40 days. Just want to bring some good news
point.
To it.
Good point, Pat.
Pat, when's the next Flyers game?
Tonight.
Yeah.
Mm. Woo.
Hey, today's show is being presented by our friends at the Park Sportsbook app. Had a up and down weekend, down $23 after the first round of the postseason. Bob, I thank you, though.
You're welcome.
Because you talked so much about San Francisco beating Dallas, I didn't have the guts to put it on the money line, but I did take the 3.5, and I'm very happy. You saved my weekend.
Oh, good.
Saved my weekend.
Not a good deal.
Hey, that Park Sportsbook app. Bet the playoffs with the best. First bet risk-free. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Use my promo code Kincaid. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we'll have plenty of time to chat with you at 610-632-0975. A young team making the postseason doesn't expect this to contribute to their loss. We'll get to it next. Welcome aboard. Hope you're enjoying your holiday, and I hope you hang out with us all morning long and stay with the Fanatic all day long. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
It's the NFL playoffs, as you know. What a great weekend that was. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating. Counting down to Super Bowl 56. New customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. You got Monday Night Football to capitalize still. Not a new customer? You can still get in on the action with divisional round same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FANATIC. Get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win 280 in free bets if your team wins. That's code FANATIC at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And it's snowing again in Bala Cynwyd.
Nice.
So a little bit of snow. So just be careful out there.
Cool.
They say temperatures are going to be dropping.
Snow's such a pain in the ass. Unless I'm on a mountain, it sucks.
You don't like it that much?
No. No.
Wow.
I enjoy seeing the snow, I got to tell you. I didn't enjoy it last night, though.
It annoys me.
The snow, the ice, or whatever. What were you just looking at? You were looking at something. I thought you were.
We found it.
Oh. What?
What were you looking at? What were you blaming me for?
Let's go into the description here. What's going on?
Jamie was
looking. Oh, somebody tweeted from my account when I was gone last break.
Wasn't me.
You?
What did they tweet?
Cake for breakfast is delicious. Now, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, cake's delicious all the time.
Wait a minute.
But I don't have any cake right now, so I feel like I'm lying to the people.
Wait a minute. I did my read. I went to the bathroom. I went and played shuffleboard, so I didn't tweet from your account.
I didn't do it.
Coach,
cake for breakfast.
You know that I didn't do that.
Now, that's a Coke. Cake you wouldn't eat. Who's the culprit?
Was Brady?
Brady. I think Brady may have done it.
Brady's popping in here and seeing your
But you do agree cake for breakfast is delicious.
I mean, depending on the cake, yeah. Like a Jewish apple cake for breakfast?
I don't like it.
What?
I don't like the Jewish apple cake.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Now, a pound cake.
A pound cake for a Stock's pound cake for breakfast?
Now, I can't afford what you can afford. Yeah, I don't have just that money to... Pat, you saw the room. Who was in?
Nobody. Like... That was the weird thing. It was John and Jamie, and that was it.
I mean, that was it. I
you need the unsolved mystery.
Unsolved mystery.
Like, this is the first time that someone tweeted from Jamie's account, and I don't know how long, and it wasn't me.
Yeah, I thought we were over that, Pat.
Dude, it wasn't me.
What did you tweet before?
It was way worse than that. It was like, what did I tweet about?
Peanut butter and onion bagel.
Don't judge. It's a low key snack.
Weird stuff.
Is there any reasonable thought that the Eagles would have been better off not playing that game yesterday? Let me go back. We all agreed that playoff experience is extremely valuable, but it was also potentially psychologically damaging and reputation damaging. It also potentially changed some of the off-season dialogue. I bet you that there are a ton of people, I'm raising my hand, that are not as sold on Jalen Hurts today as they were last week. I was all in on Jalen Hurts for 2022, all in. But I'm shaken. And I think those that aren't are ignoring the obvious. Does the Rager day yesterday force the Eagles to make a move to get rid of him, or will they continue to excuse make for him? And by the way, Nick Sirianni is a kind man. I know that about him. He's a kind man because he literally has fallen on the sword over and over. He should have gouges all over his torso. Where were the veterans on defense? Was Fletcher Cox's name called yesterday? Last but not
Fletcher
least,
Cox.
Nick Sirianni and his staff were exposed by their inexperience. It's a bunch of really, really bad storylines that lead you into the offseason with a bunch of negativity at all different directions. One's that we most certainly didn't have last Monday morning. Not to this level. And that's where we begin the 8 o'clock hour on this Martin Luther King Day holiday. Brought to you by Park Sportsbook. We appreciate the Park Sportsbook app. You can bet the playoffs with the best. The first bet's risk-free. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. With Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach, Eric Camille. Bobby, if this game isn't played, our conversations about the Eagles and their season was much different last Monday than it is now because we saw them on a major stage get completely exposed.
Yeah, I've always been of the belief that if you can get a game, no matter what, you get it. And a playoff game, look how much fun the week was for us. If we didn't have awesome. That, now we have something to draw on. What are we going to do next time the Eagles are in a playoff game? And this is, you know.
Sure.
But Jalen Hurts now knows what it's like to go up against the best in a playoff game. Whether he gets to do it or not as a Philadelphia Eagle, I don't know. But everyone, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, all of those guys now know the feel of a playoff game. That can't hurt you. And on the other side of it, it also can't hurt you to see how guys performed, good or bad, as an organization, as a coaching staff, as a fellow player. I'll always be of the belief, I don't care who you're playing or how you play, always getting out there and experiencing it is something I think that goes to the positive side.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a case to be made where you're better off not playing. I mean, they would have come up just shy of the playoffs anyway, so we're talking the difference of maybe a pick or two in the draft. So I think that's the only thing you can kind of look to as a reason not to play, and that to me doesn't outweigh the positives that come from it. I think Sirianni and his staff getting that experience is good. I think it was good to highlight the deficiencies of this roster for a certain owner and a certain GM, just to make sure they weren't buying into the Kool-Aid. I think it was all positive. I mean, for the most part. outside of just, you know, getting your doors blown off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, other than the draft pick positioning, I don't see a negative to it. You made the playoffs. The worst situation would have been if they missed the playoffs. They made the playoffs. You got some of these younger kids like Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, some playoff experience, and you got your head coaching position some experience. So I don't really see a negative.
So you don't see any negative.
You know, look, I thought they were gonna get blown out. They got blown out. So okay. I can't get mad at how it happened.
Okay, you believe the offseason discussions. By the way, I meant to tell you earlier that Zach Berman will join us tomorrow at 8:10.
Right.
Because of his travel plans today. Zach was not able to join us today. He'll join us tomorrow.
I can't believe he decided to stay in Tampa an extra day.
That's selfish.
Like, come on, man.
To me, I just look at it and say the offseason conversations would be different. Jalen Hurts had a ton more supporters, I guarantee it, last Monday morning than he does today.
Sure, but is that a good thing? I mean, look, I'm not down on Jalen Hurts or anything like that, but did yesterday teach you a lot? It did me.
It did.
It really did. It did me, and you had a national audience and national broadcasters saying, whoa, he's just now. You said Troy Aikman nine times before the 2 minute warning.
I've got nine. I quit. I was too tired. Then I finally was tired enough to go to bed after midnight.
Yeah, I'm anxious to watch the game again today.
Wait till you're going to hear it when he does he over and over again. And Troy Aikman is another one. He's a kind man.
Yeah,
because he literally doesn't want to throw Jalen Hurts totally under the bus.
No,
but he's very. He's very critical.
Sure.
Terry Bradshaw came with a 2x4 from what I hear. Everybody's saying, when do you hear Terry Bradshaw? I didn't get to halftime. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, Troy's probably got three monitors in front of him there, so he's probably seeing more than even comes across the TV screen. So if he's saying that, he must really be seeing some glaring deficiencies there. Terry Bradshaw, it's funny. Somebody put out his career stats today. Yeah, maybe take it easy there, Terry. He had 212 touchdowns and 210 interceptions.
It was a different NFL.
I know, but he's almost 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Relax there, Terry. I like Terry. It's fine. But yeah, I mean, it was glaring yesterday.
It was obvious that one guy, you know, and look, he's going up against the GOAT, so it's not fair, but you got such a drop-off. And what really worries me is the fact that one of the things you constantly hear about Jalen Hurts is his preparation's there. He did not look prepared.
No, he did not look prepared.
I'm talking like he did not look prepared to throw the ball. That's what they basically designed their defense to do is throw the ball, and he wasn't it.
Oh, man.
That's troubling.
Hey, Sixers and the Wizards today at 2 o'clock, special time. And that means Mike Missanelli has been invited to join the Anthony Gargano show, and the two of them are going to combine for 4 hours of high-level, high-octane sports talk. Don't miss it today. A special edition of Cousin Missanelli.
Have you ever met Mike's dog?
I have met Mike's dog, yes.
Oh, okay. Might be a dog day, because when things are different and the dog's on a different schedule, maybe Mike will bring the dog in today.
Love dogs.
Yes.
Sixers are 4.5-point favorites.
Is it 4.5?
It's moved. I bet it this morning on the Park Sportsbook app, and it was 3. I jumped on that. I thought, okay, that line didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, well, yesterday, the Eagles line, we woke up to leave the hotel, and it was 8.5. And throughout the morning, because my wife has our betting on her phone, I was saying to her, what are we doing? What are we doing? And she's like, it's down to 7. It got down to 7. So people were going heavy on the Eagles yesterday, and rightfully so.
I was really proud of my daughter yesterday. She said, Dad, so when I live in Philadelphia, on a day like this, when you're telling me that there's rain and wind and everything, is that a day that I'm betting unders? I was like, man, I'm proud of her.
Raise them right.
I said, that's really, and she could not care less about, she just likes to go to sports for the event. But she's already intrigued by this idea of, oh, there's these these apps. We're going to get her own Park Sportsbook app. But when she's 21, not going to do anything illegal there. Wink, wink. Greg in Bethlehem joins us on the Fanatic. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, guys. I, like you, John, felt that Troy Aikman's comments were particularly insightful. You know, sort of like what's going on behind the curtain. And I think the thing, the indictment that was most pronounced to me on Jalen Hurts was the fact that he was never throwing his guys open. He was always late with the ball. The couple of throws that he sent, made to Devontae Smith, it seemed like he was thrown into double coverage a lot of the time, like he predetermined where he was going to go rather than reading the field. And, to me, I've been making excuses for Hurts all season to try to like what he was doing. But he was exposed. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't.
Now, was he exposed by Tampa or was he exposed? That's what I'm trying to figure out today. Was he exposed or was he just exposed against the Super Bowl champions and one of the greatest teams?
Their secondary sucks, though.
It does.
Well, what I saw confirmed what I was cautious about all season was that he wasn't reading the field, and he wasn't hitting the guys on time. And I've seen that all season, or we've seen it. It's just that they've managed to overcome that by the running game, by and large. And he's made a few really nice throws through the season, but the end zone camera, I thought,
it wasn't good for him, Greg. When you see it, and Bob, that was exactly your running commentary yesterday. Is Greg in Bethlehem and you have the same DNA on what you saw?
Yeah, it's just it
throwing
just
people
wasn't
open. You said that yesterday. He doesn't throw anybody open.
No, there was a one time I forget who the player was. They wound up running a dump pass, but you saw a receiver breaking open, and there was no safety all over the top, and you could see that he had him on his inside hip, and he was making a turning towards the sideline, and it was like, okay, as soon as he's about to make his turn is when you're throwing it to the sideline. He just can't do it, or he won't do it. I don't know what it is. That doesn't seem that hard to teach to me. You know, a guy's going to run a pattern. Devontae Smith's going to run, 15 yards and run an out. Well, as soon as you see him have that corner where he's on his back foot and he's about to make his turn, that's when you're releasing the ball. He just can't seem to do that. And he's not seeing the field at all. He is not. When he gets away from his one, when his, his first look, his hot look, whatever it may be, he just can't get off of it. And
yeah.
It's bad.
It's the pocket presence thing. I mean, the Quez Watkins play was a perfect play of why I had big concerns about him. He's too quick to go. I mean, a lot of times the pressure isn't there, and he forces himself out. And as soon as he forces himself out, his eyes go away from downfield. I mean, on that play, it was a nice play design because Dallas Goedert made the safety bite down on his post or on his out route. And Quez was streaking wide open for an easy six. And, that to me, it wasn't Nick Sirianni's fault. The play design was great, and he just missed it.
I think Tom Brady, from the looks of things, and Pat, you had an eye in the sky view, but just even fast-forwarding last night after getting home on some of the plays, it seemed like Brady was under more duress in the pocket than Jalen Hurts was.
He was.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, the Eagles did a good job of getting to him.
Ryan Kerrigan began possessed for 10 minutes.
It was the Ryan Kerrigan game.
Jamie turned to me and said at one point, if you would have told me that the Eagles would have gotten five sacks on Brady, I would have thought they won the game. Because they did. They did a good job of getting it. But he can read a defense like nobody else. And this season, when they played the really good quarterbacks in the league, and Bob, you said it after the Chargers game with Justin Herbert, like there's you watch one and you watch the other, and there's a difference, a big one.
Hey, the Lowe's Just for Pros event is back. Get savings on the top tools plus bonus perks to help with your business. It's Lowe's, the new home for pros. Valid today till January the 28th in the U.S. only. Remember, there's a doubleheader today. After you get Gargano and Missinelli, that is going to be a great show.
Let's go!
From 10 to 2. You get Sixers Wizards today at 2 o'clock. And you get Flyers Rangers tonight at 7:30, both on the Fanatic. There was that one tweet yesterday, Pat, I think you brought up, the guy said, this is like what watching the Flyers is
that
like.
Was Jamie. Jamie got
it. Oh, is
Jamie
that what
it is? Yeah. It was Flyers goal scored by on Twitter. Said, this is just what watching the Flyers is like. Geez. And I was like, yeah, kind of.
Oh, boy. Zach Berman will join us tomorrow at 8:10. The question is, do the Sixers have what it takes to steal the wintertime sports talk spotlight away from the Eagles offseason?
I would say no.
Well, the Eagles always dominate conversation. But I really felt last year, after we got past Sirianni's hiring, it was 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It felt to me like this city was 50-50. Sixers trying to chase the number one seed, get a championship, and the Eagles offseason. This season, do the Sixers have the ability to keep it like that or grab the interest? Last year, I thought they really did go toe-to-toe, much more than I expected.
They have to do one thing to grab that interest with both hands, and that's make a trade and get some other pieces here. Joel Embiid came out after, I believe it was Friday's game, saying, oh, we have enough pieces. We have everything we need right here.
What did you read into that?
I thought it was odd. Good for him to pat his fellow players, the guys that are here, on the back. Maybe something happened with Ben Simmons behind the scenes, and he was just like, you know what, screw it. I'm done with this. I'm cutting ties, and I'm going to say something like that. I don't know, but that's... Yeah, Joel Embiid, I'm sure he's not dumb. Having been around him a lot, he's not dumb, and he can't really believe that they have enough pieces to compete for a championship. They just don't. And until they can surround him with a couple more pieces, until Daryl Morey figures out what pieces go with this particular team, they can't grab the total spotlight yet. No.
Well, the trade will grab the spotlight. I mean, that'll probably be the most talked about thing. You know, for the next couple months, I think that outweighs a draft. That outweighs a lot.
Another deadline, though, of dates, is it already passed, of when now everybody's available? Where there was one date in that they had to get to in December, but now there was another date of players in January, I thought.
You might be right.
Which opens up the entire... There's nobody you can't trade for, I believe.
I think it was 84% of the rosters opened up in December, so maybe it's 100% now. You might be right. I'll have to look into that. Something's got to happen, though. I mean, I can't imagine what Joel Embiid is feeling.
Yeah.
He's getting let down by his teammate.
That's why I thought his comments on Friday were weird. I mean, we have the pieces we need. Well, you don't, because you don't have all your
people. You don't have a full roster.
You don't have a full roster, and you could use a couple more pieces, and that's great that you said what you said for the guys who are in that locker room with you, and I commend him for that. But, man, Daryl Morey's just got to say, okay, we need this and this, and we have to go out and get the best ones we can right now. And that might not be to everyone's satisfaction because it's
correct,
not the superstars, but you have to find out specifically what you need on this roster to get yourself moving forward, because you have to. You have to add to this team right now. You can't wait it out. I don't think you can wait it out throughout the year.
So
I just don't.
January 15th is when 98% of the players can be traded.
Okay, so that's what happened this past weekend.
Yeah, Rob Manoff, a listener, is the guy that sent me this information. He's pretty good with this stuff. He said there are at least four players that will be eligible in a couple more days, and one or two, like a Malcolm Brogdon, that just won't be eligible at all.
Yeah, well, now it's availability. So now you've gotten past that date. So 98%.
Yeah, but I do think Daryl wants to wait until the offseason. I genuinely believe that, because there's superstar names that are going to be changing teams this offseason. And I do think he doesn't want to cut off his nose in spite of his face. And if that means...
Who really does want to cut off their nose?
It sounds awful, doesn't it?
It's just, it's one of those expressions that I just...
Would you rather have an ear ripped off? Or
yeah, they should go with the ear after Van Gogh.
I'd rather have an ear ripped off than my nose, because your nose, you're going to look like Freak Show.
Yeah, you look like Michael Jackson.
You said, I mean, I think a lot of people are thinking it.
Yeah, like in the South Park one, yeah, where it's like, just some like the people skeleton. Right now
that fall
like,
off?
Yeah. Yeah, some people are horrified right now, that comment, but like, it's probably true. Let's call it what it is.
Hey, come rain or shine, high winds or mild breezes, blue skies are great. Great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Our friends at BioNTech and Pfizer bring that to you here on the show.
So the four players that are eligible in a couple days are Gary Payton, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, and Julius Randle. And then the only three that cannot be traded in the NBA are Clint Capella, McKinney, and Aaron Gordon. And Malcolm Brogdon. So that's like
okay,
it.
Okay, so that's a very
It's basically the whole league.
And why can't they be traded?
I don't know.
Like, what is the rule?
Brogdon couldn't be traded this year because of...
Because your first year...
He didn't sign a Supermax.
I was wondering with that, because I don't understand the...
Yeah.
The NBA makes everything so freaking complicated. I mean, like, you have to go to the trade machine... To sit and I don't know how many times I pulled out that trade machine when I read something from a, hey, it's a Bleacher Report, CBS Sports or whatever. Here's the proposed trade for Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And then I put in the proposed trade in the trade machine
and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I wonder if and NBA GMs use that. And I'm dead serious. Like,
and
I'm
they do it on sports.
I wonder if they're bored sitting in their office and they're like, all right, let's.
Who's the GM?
Throw this in the trade machine.
Who's the ex-GM on SportsCenter? The guy with the black hair, maybe he's back working
again.
That's
always with the trade machine.
The trade machine, but he said flat out they used it. He said absolutely front offices use it. The only thing is, though, is I read these Ben Simmons stories that bloggers are putting up and everything. Oh, this trade's on the table. And I'm like, first of all, how the hell would you know? But second of all, I then go and look and go, the trade doesn't even work. The one that they're saying would be the proposed trade. Mathematically, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't trust those things at all. So, like, Malcolm Brogdon is a first year of an extension, so I guess...
That must be it.
Sign extension in year, I believe.
Yeah, if you sign it, I think it's in year. You can't be traded in the first year of it. Something like that.
We'll get more of you involved if you want to get on the phone line, 610-632-0975. Today's show is being presented by the Parx Sportsbook app. Bet the playoffs with the best. Your first bet risk-free up to $500. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call our friends at 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to tell you that Bradford White Water Heaters are here for the pro. You've heard me talk about it. How about you've updated your kitchen, your bathroom, and more? Have you thought about upgrading your hot water? You get a new fancy shower or a high-tech dishwasher, but your hot water is spotty and unreliable? If your water heater is old and finicky, or if it's been your house more than 10 years or so, Bradford White Water Heaters want to be there for you. They're built to be the best. Top efficiency, years of reliable performance. Bradford White, give me that hot water every morning. Gotta love it. So do a smart upgrade to get the hot water you and your family deserve. For high efficiency gas, electric, tankless models, and more, you got to go to bradfordwhite.com today. Not some box store. It's not going to work. Learn more about their quality water heating products and find the plumbing pro in your area that will install it for you so it works perfectly. Go to bradfordwhite.com. How you heat your water, it does matter. So why wouldn't you choose the best? Choose Bradford White.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.